Good evening, folks, and welcome to City Hall for tonight's City Council meeting. It's my pleasure to announce that we have a full house this evening, but I will kindly ask our city clerk to officially take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Gene Kilburg?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marx?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
As we all know, we begin our city council meetings with a pledge of allegiance, and I would kindly ask Anna Dispensa to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Anna. Where's Mom tonight?
At home.
She's grading papers.
Chemistry. It's not even a real subject, is it? Our first order of business is item 3A to proclaim November 18th through the 22nd, 2013 as American Education Week. And we have our special guest, Anna Dispensa, with us. Anna, when are you coming up to the podium? And introduce yourself to all those who are present and all those watching. You know you're on live TV, right?
Yeah. Okay, so my name is Anna Dispensa, and I'm the student government representative for the SPAC program.
Awesome.
And I have a few words about the program tomorrow.
Excellent.
And so the City of Geneva and the Geneva School District Unit 304 have worked together for over 10 years to create a unique partnership that promotes civic pride, creates learning opportunities for Geneva youth, and provides a forum for city officials to interact with Geneva High School students. The Alliance promotes Geneva High School students' involvement in local government, thereby heightening their awareness of community and responsibility. Furthermore, elected and appointed officials have the opportunity to develop sound relationships with community youth while gaining valuable insight regarding community needs and values from the students' perspective. As the program has developed and evolved since its introduction in the fall of 2000, elected and appointed city officials, Geneva High School students, and the community as a whole have benefited by this learning experience. By partnering students with government officials, our community's quality of life has been and will continue to be enhanced and preserved. The Geneva Student Government Program gives GHS students the opportunity to participate in a number of activities related to our local government affairs. Program opportunities include such events as shadowing, where high school students and city staff spend the morning with one another learning what staff does on a day-to-day basis, attend and participate in a luncheon with elected officials from the city and school district, receive proclamations promoting the program, and participate in mock city council meetings. This year's program will take place on Tuesday, November 19th to coincide with American Education Week. Tomorrow, students will shadow and participate in the mock meeting, and on Wednesday, everyone will attend a leadership breakfast at the high school. Thank you for your support of the participants of this worthwhile program.
Thank you. Did you write that yourself?
No, I wrote a little bit of it.
Did your dad do that?
No.
Do you want to introduce your father for all the, those who are interested?
Okay.
Which is probably nobody.
It's my dad, Frank Dispensa. He came to support me tonight.
Now, truth be told, Frank Dispensa and I are classmates at Geneva High School and Augustana College.
Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. We have stories we could tell you, Anna, but we're not going to.
Okay.
Class
okay.
of 82, right there. Now, what year in school are you?
I'm a senior.
So what are you doing next year?
I don't know yet.
Still,
looking at colleges still.
Yeah?
Of course, I'm looking at Augustana.
Well, you know, $44,000 a year. What the heck?
Yeah. That's well, it. One of them is 62, so Augustana is
really?
Pretty good.
How yeah. much is homeschool?
I don't know. Probably, yeah.
Lord. Are you a chemistry major like your mom?
Oh, no.
No?
I'm going to go into elementary education.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah,
and I should note that Anna's mother is a chemistry teacher at the high school, also an Augustana grad.
Yep.
Chemistry teacher at my high school.
Oh, what's your alma mater?
Elon.
Really? Are you really?
Yep, I'm looking at Elon as well, and we're actually going there on Friday.
No kidding. Now, where is that located?
North Carolina.
Yeah. Wow. And how long have you been involved in the student government program?
For 2 years now.
2 years. Okay.
I took over for Maureen when she left.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And she's really done nothing with her life.
Oh.
Like, that's a joke, people, for God's sake. She's probably watching.
Yeah.
So what else can we or should we know about the program? You're going to be joining us tomorrow?
I am. I am actually shadowing the police department, so I have a ride along.
And the chief is right there.
I'm very excited about that.
Do you know which officer you're going to ride along with?
I do not.
Why? Are you going to drive the vehicle?
I don't think so.
No, chief? What gun are they going to issue? That's an honor, though.
Yeah.
Holy. Well, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
We're going to take you to the worst neighborhoods in Geneva.
Yeah. I better watch out.
Be careful in Eagle Brook. It's not good over there, man. Well, that's cool. Any questions or comments for Anna?
Yeah, I'm very pleased how this goes. I really enjoy attending this function and having a difficult with tomorrow's event. I'm hopefully going to be able to attend Wednesday. I did not totally commit myself, so I'm just going to come upon the scene. What time does that function begin on Wednesday?
The leadership breakfast. Well, our Geneva High School starts at around 7:40, so I believe it starts around then, possibly 8.
Yeah, it's bright and early. And
yes.
Microphone?
It's not on.
I have difficulty with my hearing.
Okay.
Wednesday morning, what time?
At 8 o'clock.
8, okay.
Yeah, and you can walk in like a little bit late, and there'll be a lot of people there, and so you can just find a seat anywhere. So I've been doing that for the past 4 years I've attended the breakfast, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yep.
Now, Anna, you're a delegate, if you will, a representative of your peers.
Yes, I am.
What's the number one issue you and your peers are facing these days? Or what's on your mind that you want to ask us? Anything
I
at all?
Think, well, just kind of, do you mean just the biggest?
Yeah, you know, what's percolating amongst your peers?
Well, for the seniors, it's college. But
College.
Yeah.
Well, your father turned out okay, but he spent seven years at August, honestly.
That's been the talk for the past 3 months, so.
Yeah. Is it a lot of pressure?
Yeah, it's just a lot of, college is so much different, or the application process is so much different than it was like 20 years ago, and it's all online, and it's stressful.
Do all the schools you're applying to require both ACT and SAT?
No, you only, for most schools, I actually have not come across any schools that require both, but a lot of schools do require separate applications. So you,
really?
Some are on the Common App, which is like an application that includes many different schools,
yeah, okay.
But a lot of them are separate, so you have to do each individual essay and application, which takes a long time.
Ugh. And personal interviews as well?
For some of the schools,
For some of the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Good God, we'd never be admitted anywhere, would we, Frank? It would not be a good situation. Anyone else? Comments or questions for our seniors, soon to be a freshman again?
Yeah.
Holy
Back
moly.
Back to the bottom.
Frank, do you want to add anything? You got to be very proud of your daughter. Isn't that great?
It's much more competitive.
It's incredible, isn't it?
We're looking for college, and just in school in general. It's amazing. So, you know, hats off to these kids today.
God.
So,
Anna, what do you think I got on my ACT?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe like a 30?
And she has EQ.
And she, that's a
Anna.
Good answer.
Anna.
14.
Oh.
First time. I thought it was like golf. The lower the better, but apparently I was instructed otherwise. So it was like, not a good situation. What did you get on your ACT?
I got a 28 on my ACT.
See, that's tough. That's top notch, man. That's, you got twice as much as I did.
Oh.
Ugh. Awesome. Frank, what did you get? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I think your dad got to see me.
Yeah. It wasn't as big of a deal back then, though. I know for sure. I know a lot of
feel better. See,
a lot
Frank?
Of adults that I have talked to, they don't even remember taking the ACT, and now it's something that kids prepare for like months, even years sometimes.
Yeah, because you've got all the tutoring and everything else now, too. It's, mm-hmm. it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and it's what will really get you scholarships in the schools.
What's your favorite subject?
I like English.
You do?
I'm a big, English is my favorite. Yeah, and I'm actually involved in a PE leadership program this year, which is with the special needs students at Geneva High School, and that's definitely one of my favorite classes as well.
Now, is that the same as Viking Pals?
No, Viking Pals is a club, and anybody can be in the club, whereas PE leadership is a class, and it's only seniors, and you have to have taken a junior leadership class in order
that's
to
cool.
qualify. So, yeah.
That's really cool. Anyone else? Anything for Ms. Dispensa? Well, we do have a recommendation to approve American Education Week this week. I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Singer. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
May I present you with the proclamation?
Yes.
Why isn't your dad, you know, doing the No Shave November thing?
I don't think he's ever participated in that.
Again, I'm going to tell you stories about your father when he was a younger man.
Not on TV.
No.
This is for you. We don't have anybody with a camera, do we? Mr. Runch, you know how to take a picture?
There you go.
Woo! Ooh, let's get here. Ooh, you really?
He's doing a lot of homework this year. Not gonna lie.
That's a bum.
I can't believe I can't find it.
Ooh, and Mr. Nagel, get your shot?
One more.
The delay.
I'm going to text the English teacher, so play off.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, he's talking. He's so nice to see you.
Good to see you, Frank. Anna, we'll see you tomorrow?
Yes, we will.
I'll
be
here. What's for lunch?
Bright and early. I'm not sure. Not sure yet. We got a pretty detailed schedule, which was
I know.
Good, but it wasn't on there. It wasn't on my schedule.
It's a surprise. Yeah, exactly. Whatever's left over from lunch, for God's sake. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You have homework tonight?
I do. I have English homework.
Oh, dear God. Really?
I do, yeah.
What are you reading in English?
The Fountainhead.
Oh, Ayn Rand. Mm. Well, call the congressman up in Wisconsin. He probably knows all about it. It's a
it's
joke.
Not my right favorite now. Book.
See, the audience got that, for God's sake. Ayn Rand. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be good. Go home. Take your dad directly home.
Yeah.
How ironic. Mr. Spence has a ride-along with the police department tomorrow, and tonight we have our chief of police, Steve Mexon, with us, who is going to provide us an update regarding the Geneva Police Department. Chief, did you just read the news today that your colleague from St. Charles is leaving?
I did read that today.
Isn't that something?
That's the first I had heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Surprised me.
Very wild. Welcome, Chief.
Thank you. I'm afraid my presentation probably will not be as exciting or as interesting.
What did you get on your ACT,
as
Chief?
The previous, you know what? I took the SAT, and I don't recall at all what I got.
Good answer.
But tonight I'm going to provide you with some information about the concealed carry law here in Illinois. As you may recall, this is a new act that was passed by our legislation in the summer at the direction of the federal government. So some time has passed now, and it's about ready to kind of kick into gear. So I thought it might be a good time to kind of review with a kind of a broad overview of what the act will mean. I'm going to go over very quickly and briefly some of the following topics, a couple of relevant definitions, what the concealed carry law will allow people to do, the application process, what will qualify someone for receiving a concealed carry license and what will disqualify them, the issuance of the license, the duties that a licensee will have, prohibited areas, the pre-designated prohibited areas, as well as how to designate your personal property or private property as a prohibited area, penalties, suspensions, and revocations, and then end up with any comments or questions that you may have. A couple of definitions that I think are worth mentioning. In the statute, it talks about a concealed firearm that is referring specifically to a loaded or unloaded handgun carried on or about a person completely concealed or mostly concealed from view of the public. And I'll talk a little bit more on that in a moment. And then a handgun is described as any device which is designed to expel a projectile and designed to be used and held and fired by the use of a single hand. So when we're talking about concealed firearm, we're talking specifically about handguns or pistols. And then if you read the statute, it refers to the department. That's referring to the Department of the State Police, which is the department that was charged with implementing and maintaining and administering this program. What the concealed carry law will allow, once someone has been issued a concealed permit, it will allow that person to carry a loaded or unloaded firearm fully concealed or partially concealed on or about their person. You'll notice that it says partially concealed. I think the last one said almost concealed. It does use different terminology in the statute. What that means is if you have it in a holster, that is not partially concealed. So you cannot openly carry a gun on your hip and say it's partially concealed. You need to try to completely conceal the handgun. But if, for example, your jacket would inadvertently and accidentally fly open because it was a windy day and it would be exposed momentarily, that would not necessarily be a violation of the law. But the intent is to have it completely concealed. But that's what the wording partially concealed. So again, sticking it in a waistband and having only the top part of it sticking out, that would not cut it. That is not the intent of the law. And then it also allows you to keep or carry a loaded or unloaded firearm on or about your person within a vehicle. The application process is pretty straightforward. As you'll recall, and as I previously mentioned, this became law in July of this year, but the state police was permitted 180 days to come up with an implementation process to administer in the state. So as of January 5th, the state police will start accepting applications for these concealed carry applicants. The license is to be issued within 90 days of an application being submitted, if it is going to be issued, or it will be declined within that period of time. Local law enforcement agencies will have 30 days from the time it is filed to file an objection. So if we notice someone on the list, the database that's kept by the state police, that is the list of applicants, and we notice someone who may be in our jurisdiction that we feel would be a danger to themselves, a danger to others, or a danger to the public in general if they were to have a concealed carry permit, we would forward that information to the state police, and then a licensing review panel would review that and consider it. The submission of fingerprints will be part of the process. That will also be part of the comprehensive criminal background check that will be done on every applicant. And then just like you would do with a FOID card or a passport, you would have to provide a picture of yourself and then a proof or certification that you have successfully completed the required training. To qualify to be considered for an Illinois concealed carry permit, one has to be at least 21 years of age. You have to currently have a valid FOID card. You have to submit, obviously, the completed application. Successfully complete 16 hours of firearms training, including classroom and range instruction. Successfully pass a criminal background check and then not be the subject of a pending arrest warrant of any kind. Now, the 16 hours of firearm training, I'll talk about how you can learn where you can obtain that later, but you can receive credit for some previous training that you may have had. There's a list of classes that are pre-approved that may provide you with 4 hours of credit. If you're a honorably discharged veteran, for example, you get 8 hours of credit and only have to therefore receive 8 hours of that 16 hours of required training. Some things that can disqualify a person from being considered: you cannot have been convicted or found guilty of a misdemeanor involving the use or threat of physical force or violence to any person, either in this state or another state. The key there is convicted or found guilty of a misdemeanor involving threat or force. You cannot have been convicted of two or more violations of a DUI nature within the past 5 years or the previous 5 years preceding the date of the application. And you cannot have been in a residential or a court-ordered treatment, alcohol treatment center or alcohol detoxification or drug treatment program within the past 5 years. A license will be issued to an applicant who meets all the qualifications that I just talked about, has provided the completed application and the supporting documents, has submitted the $150 fee. If it's an out-of-state applicant, it's the fee is $300. And the state police and or the licensing training review board feels that you do not pose a danger to yourself or anyone else in the public. So if you are then issued the concealed carry permit, the license will be valid for a period of 5 years. Again, I mentioned the objections of law enforcement agencies. We do have a 30-day window in order to submit that objection. The duties of a licensee include having to be in possession of your current state-issued concealed carry permit anytime you're carrying a weapon. You also have to carry your current valid FOID card as well. You have to complete you have to keep the firearm completely or almost completely concealed from the public. I think I mentioned exactly what that the intent of that wording means. You cannot carry a concealed firearm when under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The standard that we use for the Illinois Vehicle Code or driving a vehicle is the same standard that we would use to determine if someone is under the influence for purposes of enforcing this statute. You can also not carry a concealed firearm into any or onto any property where doing so is prohibited by the Act, which leads to the next section of what are the prohibited areas. There's a pretty lengthy list of areas that are already designated as prohibited areas in which a licensee cannot carry a firearm onto or into. A licensee shall not knowingly carry a firearm into any building or real property or parking area under the control of a elementary school or secondary school, preschool, child care facility of any kind, an office of the executive or legislative branch of government, any adult or juvenile detention facility, jail, prison, anything like that, a public or private hospital, mental health facility, nursing home, anything along those lines, an establishment that serves alcohol on its premises if more than 50% of the establishment's gross receipts within the prior 3 months is from the sale of alcohol. That may be difficult to determine, but some of them may not be so difficult if a place has a Class C license, for example, a Class C liquor license. Those are assumed to have more than 50% of their income derived from the sale of alcohol. So that would include bars, taverns, and such. Gaming facilities, which wouldn't pertain to us too much. Public libraries, museum, the Geneva History Museum, obviously, would be included in this. No one could carry a weapon in there. Playgrounds, public parks, athletic areas, anything under the control of a park district, Cook County Forest Preserve district property, any entertainment or athletic venue, any court building, circuit court, appellate court, anything like that, buildings under the control of local government. So the building that we're in currently, police department, fire department, public works buildings, all of those are already designated as prohibited areas. Special events or public gatherings conducted on property open to the public and requires the issuance of a permit from unit of local government. So someone comes to the city and is required to have a permit from the city to hold a special event, that public gathering would be a prohibited area. Stadium arenas are real property under the control of the stadium or arena. Bus stations, train stations, or any public transportation system. Any real property owned or controlled by a nuclear energy storage weapons or development site obviously doesn't apply here. Any area where firearms are prohibited by federal law, and any building or real property that's been issued a special event or special use permit during the time designated for the sale of alcohol at that location. Beer gardens, for example, would be an example of that. The owner of any private property may prohibit the carrying of a concealed weapon on their property at his or her discretion simply by posting the requisite signage. and the sign must be posted clearly, and the sign must look exactly like this. It cannot have any additional wording on it. It cannot be a variance of this. It has to be this type. It also has to be 4 inches by 6 inches. No greater, no smaller, which seems somewhat silly. But what the state police legal counsel advised was that if you have a larger sign, you can have a larger sign, but you have to also have that sign posted as well. I think it was a slight mix-up in the wording when the statute was completed. But 4 inches by 6 inches and, must look exactly like that. A licensee in violation of the act shall be guilty of a Class B misdemeanor. That would mean that someone could be jailed up to 6 months in a county jail and or be issued a $1,500 fine. Second or subsequent offense, Class A misdemeanor, which is up to a year in a county jail, and up to a $2,500 fine. Anyone found carrying while under the influence will be guilty of a Class A misdemeanor automatically for the first offense, and the second offense would be a Class 4 felony. Any person convicted of the violation under this section will pay a $150 fine to be deposited into the mental health reporting fund on top of all the other fines that they may be assessed. A licensee whose license is revoked, suspended, or denied shall, within 48 hours of receiving notice of the revocation or the suspension or denial, must surrender his or her concealed permit to the local police department. So if someone is suspended or revoked, they will be required to come to the police department, give us their permit, and we will send it back to the state police. A license shall be suspended if an order of protection of any kind is issued. So if someone, for example, is involved in some domestic issues and become a subject of order of protection, they will have a suspended concealed carry permit. A license issued or renewed shall be revoked if at any time the licensee is found to be ineligible for a license under the act or the licensee no longer meets the eligibility requirements of the FOID card. So in closing, this is a quick overview of the statute, but I think I hit on some important points that you should be aware of. It's certainly not all-inclusive. If you do want to review the statute in its entirety, it can be found at 430 ILCS 66. The best place probably to find out all the information and all the frequently asked questions would be under the State Police website, since they are administering the program. They will be updating it as new information comes out. If you go on that website, you'll be able to eventually, I don't think you can get it yet, but at least by January 5th, you'll be able to obtain your application from that website. You'll be able to get a list of all the live scan locations in the area where you can go to be fingerprinted. You'll also get a list of all the instructors who have been certified as state-approved instructors for this process as well. So that concludes the overview of the concealed carry law here in Illinois. Be happy to answer
questions or comments for the chief. Alderman Cummings, then Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Bruno, then Singer.
I have a question about under the influence versus while intoxicated. Is there a difference? One year and I'm under the influence.
No, not. Not for the purposes of this, one beer would not necessarily make you under the influence. It would really come down to whether you were impaired or not. And that would be a subjective decision made by a law enforcement officer based on the standards that we use for DUI, for example.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It would like be a sobriety test.
It may that they have not specified exact tests or approved tests would be required. They haven't required any specific tests.
Because you mentioned that if it was a if it was a DUI, I think they go through some sort of testing.
I think it's reasonable to assume that those may be some of the tests that we do, because again, we have no specific guidelines as to what tests would be appropriate to determine this, other than the standard tests that we use under the Illinois Vehicle Code.
Okay. And then I had a question about, like, Swedish days, for instance. Would somebody be able to conceal a weapon during Swedish days, or is that an event that is sponsored?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that kind of leads into an area that we need to mention, that not all of the scenarios that we can come up with have answers right now.
Oh.
And the legal counsel from the state police acknowledged that some of the scenarios that you may be able to come up with will not be able to be answered until they go through some sort of challenge in court and have to be adjudicated. I would say for Swedish Day's purposes, if they're coming to the fest,
right,
they would not be able to carry a concealed weapon. Certainly not in the beer gardens, certainly in the carnival, for example. If someone is passing through an area like that, may be legal. But that'll be a judgment call in many cases based on the decision of law enforcement.
Another question is, you said that the sign had to be 4 inches by 6 inches. Does it have to look exactly like that in color?
Yes.
Okay. If the firearm, at any time, if the person loses his license, do they confiscate the weapon?
No.
Firearm.
Local law enforcement would not go and confiscate a weapon.
Okay.
They would, if they would lose their FOID card,
yeah,
then they would have to relinquish it somehow, but not necessarily to the police department.
Okay.
But they would have to come down to the police department.
But if they lost the license for the concealed weapon but still had a FOID card?
They may.
This is kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that's somewhat of a hypothetical, and I think you could probably have a FOID card and not necessarily have a concealed carry permit.
Yeah.
You could not have the reverse. You could not have a concealed carry and not the FOID card. So they may decide, for some reason, there may be some situation where they decide to suspend or revoke a concealed carry but still allow you to possess a FOID card, in which case you could still have one at home.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Alderman Bruno, then Singer, then Ms. McKittrick.
Thanks for coming, Chief Mexon. Did I catch that unconcealed is still prohibited? So coming in like Butch Cassidy with a holster.
That is
okay.
True. That
so
is
if you hide it, it's okay.
That is exactly right.
Okay.
No open carry. Open carry is prohibited. Concealed carry.
Okay. It'll take a while for that to digest. Now, there's, if I recall, if you rob a 7-Eleven, it's a different crime whether you're in possession of a weapon or not. Is that? Or is it just whether you brandish it?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
If you imply that you have a weapon, it could be the same. It could be the same offense.
Okay. So, so I was just wondering. So if.
But that would have no bearing whatsoever on the concealed carry law.
Okay, so whether you, let's see. And I came back to Swedish days, too. It seems like there's all kinds of special permits all over. I mean,
yes.
It seems like you could walk down 3rd Street on the public sidewalk without being in any violation, but you couldn't get a bratwurst from the Lions Club.
Well,
It seems like there's mostly
there
gray
will be a
area
fine line, but
they
will not be able to come to the fest with a concealed weapon. So I guess it's going to determine whether they're simply cutting through or, you know, traveling through town or not.
Where do I get signs?
You can find a sign that looks just like this on the state police website.
Oh, and just
and
print it, or you don't have a stack of them?
It. We do not have a stack of them. State police does not provide them other than from online.
What's your general sense of this? You're obliged to deal with it.
That's exactly right. I mean, it is law. We will have to deal with it. We are the last state in the country to have a concealed carry law. I have not read anything definitive that would lead me to believe that we need to be anxious that this will have a negative impact on the safety of our community. It can be debated all day, and of course there's going to be opposing views. Again, I would go back to the facts of what the other 49 states have experienced.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If one served in the armed forces and was discharged honorably, would that be a qualification for the hours?
That would give them credit for 8 hours of training.
8 hours.
So that would basically clap them out of half of the training, but they would still be required to complete 8 hours of the training.
And all the one need to do is present one's discharge.
Yes, they
as
would
such, and that would be a qualification.
Yes.
Did you mention a fee for the applications?
$150.
$150.
For Illinois residents.
But if I already have 8 hours, could I try to get half of that? Just
no.
Half?
No. Still $150.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Chief, I know you can't make a generalization, but who would want to walk around with a weapon? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, well, first of all, there's almost nowhere you can go with it, it looks like. But is this, who's your typical person? Is it somebody who fears for their safety, or, I mean?
You know, I would hesitate to make a generalization like that.
But
I don't
regular
know because
citizens.
I think, yeah, and by all accounts, they would be law-abiding citizens because they would have to meet the qualifications, pass a background check. As far as the reasons go, I think that would depend on the individual. I think the reasons will vary.
Alderman Kilberg, and then Brown.
A couple of questions. What's the responsibility of the individual that has the permit legally? In other words, if I was stopped on the street, is it their responsibility to inform the police officer that they may have a concealed weapon?
That would be smart for them to do that. I would encourage them to do that.
The same thing if you're driving and you're pulled over for stoplight or whatever. Is that a requirement?
I do not believe that is a requirement that
okay.
They offer that information up. If they are asked, I believe that is a requirement.
Okay. And then the last question would be, for instance, if you're, let's say, at the Kane County Courthouse, or if you're at a school district function and you're parked in the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
You can legally have that weapon in your vehicle. It's just the fact that you're not permitted to take it onto the premises.
That is true. There is a special caveat, and that's a great point, for parking lots. A property owner may prohibit you from having a weapon in the parking lot. However, if you have it in your vehicle, you can legally have it in your vehicle. You can also unload the vehicle, unload the weapon, keep it concealed, walk it around, and put it in your trunk. And as long as it's not loaded and it's kept concealed, you'd be able to get out of your vehicle to secure it in your vehicle. Or you could leave it in your vehicle secured out of view. But you would not be able to step out of your vehicle while it was loaded. That would be a violation.
Last question. If I was from Iowa or Wisconsin or Indiana and I was visiting in Illinois, you would honor their permit from out of state?
We would not.
Okay.
No, Illinois, there is no reciprocity
okay.
For mm-hmm. Illinois and other states. And going the other way, it would depend on the individual state whether they would allow Illinois to be honored there or not.
Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you. On your statement about posting properties as no carry properties, I thought you said something about an exception for residences. As a private residence, can I purchase one of those signs and put it in my window?
You may, but it's not necessary. Residences are an exception and assumed that they are prohibited areas.
So private residence is one of the prohibited places?
Yes.
Unless the owner allows it?
Correct.
Okay. So somebody visiting me would have to say, by the way, I do carry concealed. Is that okay with you? And if you say fine, then they can walk into your house.
Yes.
Okay.
They're not required to state that, though. If I have a dinner party and I invite 100 guests, and you know somebody is carrying concealed, they don't have to state prior to entering my abode. By the way, Kevin.
I read nothing that.
Yeah, there's no requirement.
That would require them to offer that information.
Mr. Bruno's point or Mr. Brown's point, if so desire, I can print that and put it on my door.
You could.
Keep Vogelsberg out.
Yes.
Okay.
But there is a statement that specifically says that you're not required to at a residence. That's not saying that it may not be a good idea to do that.
But if I posted on my residence, would that person still be able to come to my dinner party without telling me he was concealed?
I would think not.
I think we have them on our doors here. We have them on our doors throughout the city right now.
And I think
city-owned property.
We're going to start seeing them pop up quite a bit between now and, say, the middle of January.
What would be the difference between this in terms of enforcement and calling the police? Between this and a no solicitor posting, which a number of private residences have, it would still be the same in terms of if a person feels they're being violated, they could call you and point out that I have a no solicitor sign and yet I have XYZ pounding on my door.
You could certainly call us. I think our approach would be somewhat different and more cautious. But by all means,
if they're a nonprofit,
if someone is on your property and you
is that correct? If they're a nonprofit solicitor, they can ignore the no soliciting sign?
Well, but they would not be able to ignore
this one.
Yes.
Okay. So there is a difference between the two.
In my opinion, there would be a difference.
Thank you.
City Administrator McKittrick.
I just wanted to reiterate that the signage that we've been talking about is available for free, other than the cost of printing it. You can go to the Illinois State Police website, as the chief mentioned, and just download it and print it, and there is no cost for that. And the city has done that, and it is posted at all of our public entrances and exits. It's at all of our facilities.
I should also mention probably that I mentioned already that the state police website is the website that people should refer to. If you go to the police department section of the City of Geneva's website, at the very top button, it says concealed carry. That link will link you directly to the page that deals specifically with the concealed carry laws on the state police website. And it's very, very easy to use, very clear to understand, and they will be updating it as time goes by.
Very good.
Alderman Simonian.
One question, one comment. One question, is it limited to a single handgun on your possession?
That's an interesting question. I did not see anything that would limit it to a single handgun.
Okay, one comment. Every place where you probably would hope someone's carrying a concealed weapon, meaning in the public, in those public arenas, when the idiot pulls out the gun that wants to kill everybody, you're not allowed to have the gun. But you can have it everywhere where, when you're walking, you know, by yourself in a circle and a park and whatever, or may not even be a park. You can't do a park, I'm sure. So,
only on Main Street.
In my opinion, there's a reason why we're the last state to get it. And we've put all these conditions on it. So, whatever that's worth.
Any comments or questions from the audience? Chief, thanks very much. Always good to see you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you forward us that presentation?
I can if we can. You want it on the website, the city's website? I'll forward it to Mr. Starr, and he can put it on the city's website.
It'd be great to have it on the website, too.
Item four, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening by anyone on the dais? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine by this council and can be considered with one motion. unless there's new and relevant information to remove an item by either a member of the council or a member of the audience.
So move.
Motion on the consent agenda offered by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Ron Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Item 5 passes unanimously. We skip down to item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
When I find them. Bills for payment total $3,581,361.54.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found on the city's website in the link to the packet for the meeting tonight.
Second.
Motion offered by Alderman Brown and seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments regarding the $3.5 million? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Item 10 passes unanimously. We skip down to Committee of the Whole items of business. Item 11A is to recommend ordinance number 2013-44, amending the City of Geneva Downtown Station Area Master Plan for properties located at 102, 120, 132, and 210 South Bennett Street, 228 and 306 Chrissy Avenue, 4 and 12 East State Street.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion and Alderman Maladra makes the second. This matter was discussed and deliberated at length at the Committee of the Whole meeting. Any additional comments for this evening? Alderman Bruno.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I didn't prevail last week, but I still will be opposing this only because I think we're changing it for the wrong reason. And I think there's confusion as to what the downtown area master plan really is. I think it's good planning, and it's sad that it's not going to be in the public consciousness. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Any of our guests this evening, anything they'd like to add? That's a that's a quiet group behind you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Mr. Clerk, roll call vote is in order.
Ron Singer?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Nay.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
The motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 nay votes. That motion carries. According to my scorecard, we are at new business. Is there any new business from any of our guests this evening, either related to the City of Geneva or anything at all, folks? Alderman Singer?
Yes, thank you. I've gotten a number of calls from my constituents regarding locations of their of precinct polling places. And I made some inquiries, and in doing so, I would like to extend those the conversation I had to those that are listening to me here this evening and those that are in the audience. I talked to the county clerk, young lady there by the name of Susan Fanstock. And this is what she indicated to me. One of the difficulties apparently is that the locations of areas where one would certainly assume one would like to find a polling place are not ADA compliant. Oftentimes that is one of the major issues. Another issue is with parking. And it's limited. And so that is restrictive as well. And oftentimes, there are maybe more than one precinct voting in the polling place. They try to deter that. They try to have at least only, say, one or two precincts voting in any one polling place. So I know this might be an issue for a great many of us out there because of a new location as to where they had been voting previously. What was recommended to me by Susan was that what would be helpful is if people would begin to vote. See, how did she put that? To vote, what is it called? The early voting process. That's what it is. If one could vote early, one could then find a local area, such as the county sites, where one can then extend their vote at that place. So that's what she says, what she recommends. So if you have any questions, you might want to refer to calling her at this number. It's 630-232-5990. Or you could find, also, I'm sure you can find something on their website as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I did get a call from a constituent this week saying that she doesn't subscribe to any of the newspapers, but they keep coming, and she has called the Chronicle and the Republican, and they said there's no way to tell who subscribes, so they just toss them. So she said maybe it's something we could discuss, but I don't know that there's a way to stop that. I know other people have tried.
There's a short answer. Would the city attorney or Mrs. McKittrick care to provide the short answer?
Okay, I thought
Yes, it is. Boils down to, for those of you listening in, it boils down to a freedom of First Amendment right, quite frankly. We've had challenges before with the free newspapers, and despite our best efforts to ask that those who distribute those papers be a little more courteous with respect to delivering them all over, they've cited their First Amendment protections, and we've been unsuccessful in doing so.
Well, thank you. I thought we should discuss it. Thank you.
Because I just got one the other day that said Nixon resigns. I thought, come on.
Just from your mom.
Did he?
I know. Isn't that amazing? Anyone else? Oh, Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Simonian.
Just wanted to remind everybody when they're raking their leaves to please keep them out of the gutters. They still have a tendency to get to be concerned about their grass. Their grass will really come back next year, so please put them on your grass and don't leave them in the gutters. Thank you.
Alderman Simonian.
Thank you, Mayor. Can't we cite him for trashing?
Throwing?
Just because there's leaves in the gutter?
No, throwing the newspapers.
I know, just kidding. Sadly, we cannot.
Okay.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Offered by Marx, second by?
Second.
Mr. Cummings, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, good night, everyone.